Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland, then Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
With me to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, we are jumping into the middle of a conversation. I know sometimes we kind of think, you know, we come to a new chapter and we think we're entering into a new discussion. But this is the second part of a conversation. Pastor Steve took us through kind of the first half. I get the better half. Sorry, Steve, but just the way it is. This passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, we just sang that song. What a powerful name. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. And this morning we are going to, Jesus gives us two incredible word pictures. Buckle up, we're going to try and work our way through two word pictures this morning. Not just one, two. As Jesus is going to work off of this incredible illustration of him being the gate for the sheep. And that through him, those who enter through him will be saved. And we are going to talk and look at these two word pictures. And I will say to you this morning, the goal is really kind of to give us a foundation of understanding so that you yourselves can better hopefully understand this passage and dig into it yourself. There is a lot in here. There's a lot in this passage. There is a lot of deep theological truths that we are going to be looking at. And so let's get to it. The illustration of a shepherd. You know, Jesus uses this illustration often. God uses this illustration often. We see it in the Psalm. Pastor Steve started our service this morning with our call to worship, and he read about us being sheep and God our shepherd. The psalmist very often talks about this idea of the shepherd and his sheep. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known psalms in Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And though I walk through the valley of death, his rod and his staff, his shepherd's staff, they comfort me. The prophets, many of them contain this idea of God as our shepherd and the people of Israel being his sheep and have wandered and have moved away from the goodness of God that he has for them. And God's heart desire, shepherding heart, to bring his people back to them, to the life that he has for them. And Jesus often in the Gospels talks about or uses this illustration of the shepherd. And this morning, we're going to look at, again, two of these incredible word pictures that Jesus is going to provide for us using the illustration of the shepherd. And so we kind of need to gain a bit of understanding and are going to try and give us some background because I'm not a shepherd. I did not grow up in a culture of shepherding, and I know probably the majority of us haven't either. And so I think we're going to try and give some background on what Jesus is saying because the people that Jesus was talking to, now we find out in verse 6 that the direct people that Jesus was talking to, they didn't get it. They didn't get the illustration. But I think for the most part, in the community and the culture that Jesus was speaking to, he was speaking to a shepherding culture. And they had, for thousands of years, the people of Israel had kind of relied and depended on sheep and on shepherding. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But they very likely, if not having been shepherds themselves, many of the people of Israel, they would have at least known or have grown up in a culture of shepherding. I think God and Jesus use the illustration of shepherding often in scriptures because of the people whom they were speaking to, the culture that they were speaking to, that they would have known this. Now for us, we need to gain some background. Because some of the most important people that the Israelites would have looked to as their forefathers and as the original kind of leaders and the great people of their nation would have been men like Abraham, Moses, David. Guess what? They were all shepherds, all three of them. And the people of Israel would have looked to these men as their great leaders and forefathers. And so it was an illustration that they knew. Now for us, maybe not so much. And so let's read this passage, and then we will talk a bit about shepherding, and so that we can hopefully gain, out of my ignorance as well, hopefully gain a bit of understanding of these two word pictures that Jesus is going to give us here in John chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, your Bible on your phone, we'd appreciate if you would turn to the John 10. We're going to read verses 1 to 10 together this morning. Let me read this for us. John 10, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I assure you, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. For a shepherd enters through the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't recognize his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep, he said. All others who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them life in all its fullness. Shepherding. You know, Israel is an interesting place. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures and I've heard about it, and it is quite an arid land. It is not really a place where you would expect that they would grow a whole lot of crops and produce and fruit and be an agricultural place. Great portions of Israel are very dry, they're very arid, they look like somewhat great areas, plateau areas that look a lot like this. Now, present-day Israel, one of the amazing things about them is that they are an agricultural culture. They produce produce that for themselves, but they also produce produce that they ship around the world. And they've come up with this, they take water out of the Mediterranean Sea and they remove the salt water for it and they irrigate large portions of Israel through salt water that they desalinate. But in Jesus' day, a lot of Israel would have looked somewhat like this. It was not a place of agriculture. It was not a place where that would sustain crops. It wasn't even a great place to sustain cattle and cows and things like that. And so over thousands of years, many of the nations, including the nation of Israel, depended and relied on shepherding. And what did that look like? A shepherd in the morning would get his sheep out of the village sheepfold. He would take them out onto these large plateaus within the nations of Israel that had ravines all through them. And Jesus tells that story of going and finding the lost sheep and that has fallen into one of these ravines. And Jesus talks about leading his sheep. And the shepherd would take his small flock. I think sometimes we think of these flocks of 200, 300, or thousands of sheep that, you know, these shepherds would herd. You know, we see them driving around on their motorbikes and they've got their dogs and all that stuff. In those days, they would have only had a few. These were not wealthy people. These villagers, these shepherds would have had maybe 10, 15, 20 sheep, and they would lead them out to these pasture areas. They would lead them to these sparse areas of different places with food, and they would bring them to water, and they would care for their sheep. They would guard them from animals. They would guard them from people who might want to steal them or take the meat that was on the sheep or their wool. But they would protect the sheep, and they would care for them. And then at the end of the day, after a long, tiring day of walking and leading their sheep to different areas of pasture and food, the shepherd would bring his sheep back to the village. And at the village would be this sheepfold, this large sheep, communal sheep pen. And the shepherd would bring their sheep to the gate, one gate. You can kind of see it here. This is one village sheepfold. And the shepherd would put his sheep into this communal sheepfold. And all the villagers of that small village, or shepherds of that small village, would put their sheep in this communal sheepfold. And the shepherds together would hire a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper's job was at night, he would stand guard at the gate of the sheepfold. He would guard the sheep. He would defend them. And again, in the morning then, the shepherds would come and they would gain access through the gatekeeper, through the gate. As the gatekeeper recognized the shepherds, he would allow them entrance into the sheepfold. Okay? So just to kind of give us a basic, here's a gatekeeper, right? Here's kind of this hired hand who was there to look after or to mind the sheep as the shepherds were resting and eating and sleeping through the night. Another just kind of an animated picture of a sheepfold, of this idea of a communal sheepfold with its gatekeeper. It's just kind of a very basic, quick kind of sketch of explaining this word picture now as we jump to this word picture that Jesus gives us. Now, I want to ask a couple of questions of this. Because in verse 1, Jesus says, I assure you, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. I first want to ask the question, what is the sheepfold? Right? And some people have kind of surmised or put out there, well, maybe Jesus is, you know, using the illustration that this is the church. Or some have even put out the idea that maybe Jesus is kind of talking about heaven. The sheepfold that the sheep are in is the church, the body of Christ. Or maybe it's heaven. Now, clearly the problem with that is, why then would Jesus be leading people, his people, out of the church? Why would he be taking people out of heaven? I don't think, though, that's the right answers. Now, some people then have put forward, well, maybe this is the world. Maybe the sheepfold is the world, and Jesus enters into the world, and he calls out those who belong to him, and he leads them out of this sinful world. Now, I think we're closer to the truth with that one. And yet the problem is, in verse 16, if we jump down a little bit, Jesus says this. 16. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So Jesus says, I've got another sheepfold. It's not just this sheepfold here. I have another one. And there's sheep in there that belong to me, and I've got to go and call them out. So what is this sheepfold that Jesus is talking about? I think what we come to, and within the context and the people that Jesus is talking to, and the knowledge that we have of Jesus prophesied, was as the Messiah had come to the people of Israel. He had come to the nation of the Jews. He had come to save and be the Messiah for the Jewish people. So I think what we see Jesus speaking to as he has this conversation with the religious leaders, he says, listen, I have come to the people of Israel. And there are sheep within the nation of Israel, people who belong to me. And they're mine. And I will save them. And they know me. And I will call them out of the nation of Israel. And I will take them to a new place and form a new people, because there's another sheepfold. And I think we can call this sheepfold the Gentiles. Right? And the scripture talks about it, and the rest of the New Testament, Paul a number of times refers to there are Jews and there are Gentiles. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus, in Jesus Christ, he's saving these people out of both people groups, this great mystery of the gospel, that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but it is also for the Gentiles, for us who are not the chosen people of Israel. Those who had been separated and seemingly rejected and not wanted by God, turns out that God loves us as well. And that out of this sheepfold of the Gentiles, Jesus is going to come and to draw his people out and make a new people. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But this sheepfold that Jesus is talking about, I believe, here in this first word picture, is the people of Israel. Of Jesus saying to these religious leaders that as the shepherd, I have the right, I have the authority to enter into this sheepfold and to take out those who belong to me. But quickly before we get to the authority of Jesus, we have to ask the question, who are the thieves and robbers? Right? Again, in verse 1, Jesus says, those who come into the sheepfold by any other way, who sneak in over the walls, they are thieves and robbers. Who are these thieves and robbers? Well, again, the context, going back to chapter 9 that Pastor Steve took us through, he was having this discussion with the religious leaders following Jesus healing this blind man. And he speaks to them about their spiritual blindness. And now he comes to them and says, listen, you Pharisees, I think Jesus is ultimately saying, you're the thieves and robbers. You are the thieves and the robbers who have been robbing God's people of the life that he desires for them to have. These people, these religious leaders, the Pharisees and all of these people were meant to be the shepherds for Israel. God had established in the old covenant with Moses this clan, the Levites, who would be the religious leaders for the nation of Israel. They would do the sacrifices. They would lead the people in relationship with God. They would be that go-between between them to keep the people in contact and in right relationship with God, their creator. But many times in Scripture, and we're going to read one of those, an example of this, God says and comes to these people and says, you haven't done your job. Instead of giving life to my people, to my sheep, you are nothing but thieves and robbers. You're stealing from them. You're abusing them. You are using them for your own gain, and you leave them as sheep without a shepherd. And a number of times throughout the Old Testament, God uses this illustration of these religious leaders that he had set as shepherds for the people of Israel. He calls them thieves and robbers. Let's look at this example because I think it's important as we seek to kind of gain a better understanding of this passage, this word picture that Jesus gives us. Ezekiel chapter 34. There's some incredible things in here. Let me just quickly, I'll try and go through this quick, but follow along with me. Ezekiel 34, this is God speaking to these supposed to be shepherds. And he says this, then this message came to me from the Lord. This is Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. Destruction is certain for you, shepherds, who feed yourselves and steady your flocks. Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the broken bones. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with force and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd. They are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through the mountains and hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. Though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, along with their right to feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places to which they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. Jumping down to verse 15. God says this, I myself will tend my sheep and cause them to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. One final portion here of this passage, verse 22, it says, so I will rescue my flock, and they will no longer be abused and destroyed. And I will judge between one sheep and another, and I will set one shepherd over them, even my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. Pretty amazing passage of Scripture, isn't it? That both speaks to the thievery, the robbery of these shepherds that God had established for his people, and the incredible love and grace of our Father God, the shepherd, who has established and will call out his own sheep, and he himself will save them. He himself will bind our wounds. He himself will free us and save us and bring us salvation and life. There's one interesting part of this passage. He uses the word David, doesn't he? Who will do it? My son David. Now, it's interesting because David is long gone, right? Ezekiel is giving this prophecy generations after David has already passed and is dead. So who is Ezekiel? Who is God speaking about? Well, I think clearly now we have the knowledge and the understanding that God is speaking to the prophesied Messiah, the son of David, who will come and establish and be born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and establish his eternal kingdom on the throne of David. And who was that? It was Jesus. Who is this good shepherd to come who will shepherd his sheep, who will find the lost and bring them to right relationship with God as originally intended? It is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the incredible things that we learn in this first word picture that Jesus gives us is Jesus' authority. Right? One of the arguments, the continued arguments that Jesus has been having with the religious leaders, with the Jewish people, they've been coming and questioning him, going, who are you? By what right do you have to make these claims? How can you say, are you really the Messiah? How can you claim that you're the Son of God? How can you claim equality with God? How can you claim all of these things and do all these things that you were doing? What authority that do you have? One of the beautiful parts of this word picture that Jesus gives us is he speaks to this authority. He lays out for us the authority that he has as our good shepherd. And let's just quickly take a look at that. As Jesus, as our shepherd, why does he have the authority to lead us as his people, to give us life, to save us, to bring us to right relationship with God? I think one of the things that we see, or I believe, as we look again at this passage in John 10, Jesus talks about the gatekeeper. As we remember that story or the background that I was giving you, that the shepherd would put his sheep into this communal sheepfold at night, and the gatekeeper would mind them, and then the shepherds in the morning would come back to the sheepfold, and the gatekeeper would let them into the sheepfold. And I think as Jesus uses this word picture, I think God ultimately is this gatekeeper in this word picture. It is God who cares and has watch over his people. That in this period of time, as his beloved set-aside people, the nations of Israel, were God's. And he cared for them and he was watching them until the time came when the good shepherd would come and save his people. Now, in the same way, I believe God, maybe slightly different, but God also looked after the Gentiles. In his grace and love for them, he provided care for them as well. Until the time came when the good shepherd came and freed his people and led them to life. And I think an important part of us to recognize is that Jesus says he goes through the gate. That the gatekeeper recognizes him, the authority that he has as the shepherd, to come and to take out his sheep because of who he is. And Jesus says, I have the authority to enter, and the Father recognizes who I am. He recognizes that authority. Well, the second part of that authority that I think is an amazing picture for me, and I love this, is that not only does God recognize Jesus' authority, but also we as his sheep recognize his authority. That aspect of Jesus says, I enter into the sheepfold and I call my sheep and they hear my voice and they know me. They know me and they follow me. They obey me. Not only is Jesus' authority seen by his recognition of God the Father, but his authority is seen is that we as his people, we know who he is. We know our belonging to him. He calls us out because he is our good shepherd. And we get into some deep theology here in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul talks about this amazing truth that we really is so hard, impossible for us to comprehend. But he says, God, in the beginning, before the foundations of the world were laid, he knew you, and he loved you, and he had chosen you, and he predestined you to belong to him. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, has repeatedly been saying, I have come to save those whom the Father has given me. Those who are mine, I have come to call out. And he enters into the sheepfold and he calls his sheep and they know him. They recognize Jesus' authority as the good shepherd. Here's the shepherd that can lead us. Here's the shepherd to whom we have so many promises that he has kept and been faithful to. Here is the shepherd that can lead us to life. And we are told that Jesus in this illustration says that his sheep know his voice. They know him as the real shepherd because the thieves and the robbers come, or the one who is not the true shepherd comes, and the sheep do not listen to him. They run from him because it is only Jesus who has the authority and the right to save us and to lead us out of the sheepfold of these different places that we are now in and under living in this world, to bring us to salvation and lead us to a new sheepfold of life. Jesus has that authority. And you know, there's an interesting part of this, and I'm going to quickly try and cover some of these things. I got a lot of ground still I want to go do, but I think this is important. As I was reading this, I found it interesting that somewhat in three different ways, Jesus kind of talks about this calling out. Let me try and bring this out here. Verse 2, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and they come to him. And then he continues, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And then verse 4, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they recognize his voice. That's kind of interesting. It just seems like there's almost kind of three different points where Jesus kind of says, you know, I call my sheep and they come to me. I gather my sheep and they follow me. They hear my voice and they follow. And I was kind of interested with that, and I kind of looked into it, and there are Bible, and again, this is just kind of surmising within the word picture that Jesus gives us. But they looked at this idea of Jesus gathering his sheep. And in it, they kind of came up with this idea that Jesus is presenting to us that there is a struggle here. There is a reality, and we might, you know, in spiritual terms, we might call it the work of repentance happening in us. That although we might recognize our shepherd, our good shepherd's voice, that we have to, in essence, detach ourselves from the things of this world. That we have to turn away from the paths and the things of this world to follow Jesus. There is this process of repentance that needs to happen as we leave the sheepfold of this world, the Gentiles and our ways of life and our ways of sin, that we have to turn from that life in order to follow our shepherd. And that this process of Jesus gathering us, of calling us out, speaks to this process of us having to repent and turn from this path that leads to destruction, that promises us life, but is nothing but emptiness and false religions and things that will in fact rob life from us. And Jesus says, I've gathered you, I've called you, you've known my name, I've led you out. And this process of us, this beautiful part of our salvation, of Jesus calling us out, of us coming to a place of repentance, hearing the voice of our Savior and following. And it really speaks to that reality of such an intimate relationship with our God, such an intimate relationship between shepherd and sheep. You know, within that word picture, that idea of shepherding, you know, often we think of the shepherd's rod and staff as a form of discipline, right? You ever pictured that? God with this staff or this rod, and if we get out of line or if we're not going down the same path, he kind of whacks us with it, right? That's often how we think of his rod and staff. But you know, within the word, the picture of shepherding, the shepherd would, when he took his sheep down to the sheepfold, every sheep, one by one, he would place his shepherd's staff in the gateway. And he would let his sheep in one by one by the sheepfold, but he would stop each one and he would inspect them. He would look for cuts and wounds. He would look for ticks and fleas. He would look for things that were harmful to that sheep, that he would care for them immediately. This love that the shepherd has for his sheep. You know, sheep, a lot of them, some of them, produce these different oils. And often sheep can struggle or have difficulties with constipation. And one of the things that a shepherd would do would clear and clean out their sheep. Otherwise, they would die. This was the care of the shepherd for his sheep. This intimate relationship of Jesus' care for us as he binds up our wounds, as he cares for us, as it's by his wounds and stripes that we are healed. This incredible love that the shepherd has, this knowledge of knowing each one of his sheep, that he knows them by name, that he knows them personally, and the sheep know their shepherd. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? And they recognize his voice. Now, I'm sure many of you are pet owners. Our family has a dog, and Toby, if you ever visit our house, he will bark as he hears people kind of approaching the house. We often get upset with him, but you know what? It's his job, isn't it? But you know, when I come up to the house, Toby will hear as I crunch through the snow or whatever it is, Toby will start barking. I mean, he can't see me. He doesn't know who's coming. But as soon as I call out to him, again, he doesn't see me, but as soon as he hears my voice, Toby knows who I am. He stops barking. And this beautiful reality of that intimate relationship that we as Jesus' sheep are meant to hear and know his voice. And in that knowing, we know him as our good shepherd. We know the promises that he has made, the faithfulness of that good shepherd. We know that in him we have safety and security. We know that in him he will lead us to those green pastures and that still waters where we will be safe and secure and where we can find life. Because the shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. And we're told here in this passage that Jesus says, when we know the shepherd, we follow him because he leads us to life. The question is, do we know the voice of our shepherd? Do you know the voice of Jesus? And you might say to me, well, where would I know this voice? Where would I hear it? Well, you know, one of the main places that I think God has given us to hear his voice is right here. It is here where we know the character and the heart of God for us. It is here where he has revealed to us his will. It is here where we meet and see the heart of Jesus and his many promises to us, of his words of faithfulness and of life for us. It is here where we can come into contact with the voice of our good shepherd. Do we know his voice? Will we recognize it when we hear it? Do when we come across the things of this world, does the voice of our good shepherd speak to us as we face temptation? As we face the different temptations and things that this world promises us and says, hey, come this way and I will give you life. Come down this path and you will find happiness. And we follow them. Do we know the voice of the shepherd who says to us, come and follow me? Because in me I will lead you to green pastures and I will lead you to life. Those who know and hear his voice, they follow. And they live in that life that Jesus has come to give us. I still have a whole second word picture. You ready? I'm going to fly through this. I realize my time is just about over. Just give me a few more minutes. Because in verse 6, the religious leaders don't get it, right? They don't say to Jesus, but we're told, John tells us, they heard Jesus use this illustration and they didn't understand what it meant. So Jesus gives them, I believe, a second illustration, word illustration. Why do I say that? Jesus kind of jumps to a new metaphor. The first word picture, he's our shepherd. The second one, he proclaims, makes this amazing I am statement, right? Jesus makes, I believe it's 6 or 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. And these I am statements all are meant to kind of point back to that burning bush, God revealing himself to Moses, speaking out, who do I say to the people of Israel who you are? God says, I am. I am sent you. I am who I am. And Jesus in the Gospel of John makes these incredible I am statements, and this is one of them, that speaks to this incredible reality of our salvation, God's sovereign work of salvation in our lives. As Jesus says to us, I am the gate for the sheep. So it's a different word picture here, as Jesus kind of switches metaphors and of who he is. And so what is he saying to us? He says, I assure you, or in the NIV, I think it says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever you go, they will find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Now, within this were these two word pictures that Jesus gives us. There is this incredible picture of God's sovereign salvation for us. And I put in there sovereign because we have to recognize our belonging, our calling, our God's ownership, Jesus' ownership of us as his good shepherd. God's incredible plan of salvation, of he himself entering into our world and into our lives to bring us salvation, to lead us out of death and out of sin, to bring us to this place of joy and life in him. And it is God's sovereign plan for us. And it is Jesus himself, God's very Son, who enters into our world to be our good shepherd, to lead us out of that place of slavery to sin and of death and destruction that we are following, that emptiness of this world, that Jesus comes to bring us life, to take us to a new sheepfold. And I think that's really an important part to see in this new word picture. Jesus takes us out of the sheepfolds of the Jews and the Gentiles, and he forms this new sheep pen where now he is the gate to this new sheep pen, this new sheepfold, where together we form this one people, Paul talks about in Ephesians 2, that in Christ Jesus, these two warring, hating factions of different people groups come together as one people in Christ Jesus to now the people and the sheep of God, of Jesus Christ, belonging to him. And we enter, and we can only enter through the one gate, and that gate is Jesus Christ, because he is the gate for the sheep. And this beautiful picture of the oneness of the people of Christ, the sheep of the good shepherd, made one because we have been saved through Jesus Christ, our gate. And we enter into this new sheepfold. And you know, Jesus says to us there in that passage, he says, wherever they go, they will find green pastures. Again, the NIV says they will go in and they will come out, or vice versa. You can correct me on that one. But I love this picture of freedom that Jesus talks about. Wherever they go, as these sheep who everything to them is a danger. They are one of the dumbest animals in the world. I don't think Jesus is saying that about us, but it's just a reality. They needed protection. They needed to be looked after. They needed care. They were not smart animals. They needed to be led. And here in this passage, Jesus says, those who are part of my sheepfold, that I, through me, they have salvation and are part of this new people group, now they can come and they can go. They have freedom because they know who they belong to. They know who their shepherd is. They know the promises that they have through Christ Jesus. And that they know that death and the hardships of this life in this present day that we live in is not the end. That there are greater things to come. And that the physical death that, yes, we will all experience is really merely the beginning of the life that God has for us. And that we do not live in fear or in worry or concern, but we live in dependence of our good shepherd. A good shepherd who cares and watches over us, and he gives to us freedom. That we can live in this world in freedom, no longer in fear and worry and anxiety, because we know the good shepherd. And Jesus in that says, they will find green pastures. This reality of experiencing God's blessing, God's goodness for us, God's desired life that he desires for us to know. And let's be clear, Jesus is not promising us the health and the wealth of this world. That's not what these green pastures promise us. It is not the desires and the things that we want or the sinful things that we seek after in this world. It is not the wealth and success of this world that Jesus is promising us. What is he is promising us is that spiritual, eternal security because we have been saved. And we sang that song this morning that brought out Romans chapter 8. Nothing now in Christ Jesus can separate us from the love of God. Neither death, nor angels, or demons, or all of the things that Paul lists out, nothing can separate us from the love of God because of who we are in Christ Jesus. These are the green pastures that we walk in. Living in the promises and the life that our God has laid down his life for us that we may know. That we can know peace and joy, satisfaction and contentment, even in this world and the struggles that we go through, not because of what we have done, but because we have been saved by Jesus Christ and we have a good shepherd. Jesus closes this incredible passage of scripture with this amazing purpose statement that he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is that you might have life. That in Jesus Christ, we can have life. The question comes to us, do you know this life that Jesus has come to bring you? Have you heard the voice of your good shepherd and are you following him? Or are you continuing to look to the things of this world and the influences of this world, seeking other paths, walking that path of sin, turning away in rejection from the path that God has for you? Or have you, through Jesus Christ, come to know and know the voice of the Good Shepherd who has saved you and wants to bring you to life? That offer is there for each of us. For God so loved the world that he sent us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I pray that you know that life that Jesus has died for you to know. That you would be one of those people who is following the Good Shepherd. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, what can we say? God, this incredible word picture that you give us, Jesus, of you being our good shepherd. Your amazing love for us. Your knowledge of us. Even in our rebellion and our rejection, you still came and laid down your life for us so that we could know life. Jesus, we get so caught up, so blinded by the things of this world, in our spiritual blindness, so caught up in our pursuits of the things of this world that we miss the voice of our Savior. We miss the promises that he has given us. We miss the freedom that we can have in him and the life that we can know in Jesus Christ. God, would you forgive us for that? Lord, may we be sheep who know the voice of our good shepherd. And in knowing that voice, may we walk and live in dependence of him. May we find salvation in him. May we find life in him. Because he is the gate for the sheep, the only way that we can know that salvation and life. God, may we be a people who are following you. Because God, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. We pray these things in your name. Amen.